Hello, I'm Joshua Brown from Bakersfield, California. I pastor City Christian Church, and would have loved to have been with you guys at the conference, there with you in spirit, not in body, not this time anyway. But I'm going to dive right into this. New wine is in the cluster. The blessing is in team ministry. This is based on our main text over here in Isaiah 65 and verse 8. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all." So we see that the new wine is found in the cluster, and that there's a blessing in it. Using that main text, I was thinking about what I should minister on as it pertains to team ministry, and I was just thinking about how there ought to be a standard, and I really believe that there actually is. Sometimes we there's a standard obviously in the Bible for team ministry, and there's sometimes we put these standards in our ministry for our teams, and we sometimes we underline them or kind of announce them and make them plain to everybody. Other times they're kind of just there as principles. But I looked up in the dictionary what a standard actually is, just so that I wasn't going to mistakenly tell you the wrong thing. And I found that in one dictionary it said that it is a level of quality or attainment. A level of quality or attainment. It's also used as a measurement. And so I'm just going to kind of use the word there, a level of quality, use that phrase, a level of quality for team standard in ministry, for that word standard. So every time we talk about this word standard here this evening or this morning in ministry, we're going to be talking about a level of quality. Jesus and his disciples had this level of quality. Paul and his disciples had this level of quality. Elisha, they were a team. They had a level of quality. We're going to start off by talking about Moses and seeing how his father-in-law Jethro helped him develop a level of quality for his ministry, and in doing so actually helped him fulfill his call in his life and the life of the Israelites. So if you turn with me over to Exodus chapter 18, and we're just going to start off over here in verse 13. Before this, Jethro just came with Moses' two sons and his wife, and they're making sacrifice to the Lord and different things like that. While Jethro was there, Moses went and started judging the people. In other words, the people came before him, and they stood around Moses, and each or any of the people that had a case or difficulty or a problem that needed to be judged by Moses or somebody, they went to Moses, and Moses took the case one by one and judged them. And the scripture says that Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And verse 14 says, "And when Moses' father-in-law saw that he did to the people, he said, 'What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all thy people stand by thee from morning until evening?' And Moses said unto his father-in-law, 'Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them known the statutes of God and his laws.'" In some other translations, this passage right here talks about how Moses is judging between the people, and not just for the sake of judging only, but also to make known the will of God and God's laws to the people. And so this was Moses' way of teaching the people God's laws and God's will. And he was out there trying to do it himself, and because this is the way that he knew, and he didn't know a better way. And so his father-in-law said, hey, this is not good. In verse 17, it says, Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou will surely wear away both you and this people that is with thee. In other words, you guys are just going to be wasting a lot of time and effort and energy, and you're not going to have energy for the other things that need to be done. And he says, for this thing is too heavy for you. Thou art not able to perform it yourself alone. And I don't know about you, but that just speaks to me, since, you know, you get in the ministry oftentimes, and a lot of times you do try to do things alone, and or you try to do as much as you can do instead of getting people to help you and helping develop them at the same time. But in verse 19, it says, listen now unto my voice. I'll give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people toward God, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. So Jethro is presenting to Moses another way of instructing the people and judging between them. And the way Jethro's presenting to Moses is that we're going to teach the people the laws of God and the will of God, and we're going to have other men help us do this. And so in verse 21, we see that, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. And if you got a Bible that you can underline, or if you're taking notes right there, that those words able men are important to write down. And it says, such as fear God, or in other words, such as reverence God, men of truth, hating covetousness or wrongdoing, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of ten. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Now, let's talk about this for a moment real quickly. Jethro's telling Moses that, listen, you can't do everything yourself. You need to have able men. And men that reverence God, men of truth, men that hate covetousness or wrongdoing. And these are what I would call men of quality. And so what Jethro is doing is he's not just telling them to just get anybody in there, but he's telling them to get people that have standards, that have a standard, as God is of reverencing God or fearing God, and that believe in truth, and that are able men, or men that are qualified, that are able to judge between or judge other matters. And so then he recommends as well that Moses puts these men all over the place. In fact, he says, make some, you know, rulers of thousands, some rulers of hundreds, some rulers of fifties, and some rulers of tens. And since there are so many people, I can't remember exactly the number right there. I think it was like 600,000 or something. But I could be, and that's just men. I don't think that was counting women or children. I think that what he's doing here, what Jethro is recommending to Moses, is that, you know, hey, you need to find men of quality that are men that can help you, and men that can do what you're doing right here, and take the weight off you. And now, that's obviously, if you have 600,000 people, maybe that would be easier to find. I'm not sure, but still, that's a lot of people to care for. So they're, you know, I could imagine that they're still shorthanded in finding these able men. That's what Jethro, who was so wise in his recommendation here to Moses, was doing. It says in verse 23, if thou should do this thing and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall all go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart and went his way into his own land. So it's really interesting here. I think that Moses just didn't get good advice here, but he actually followed the advice, which is a really smart thing to do by Moses. And as a result, people were being developed. People were now a part of a team, and there wasn't just one man judging and doing all the work here. Instead, everybody became part of the process. Everybody became part of the work. And in fact, in the scriptures, it says that one of the things that, besides showing them the will of God and teaching them the laws of God, that they would be able to teach the people what they need to do. And so without Jethro persuading Moses to do, to find quality men here, not only Moses would not have fulfilled his call in the ministry, but neither would the people. The people would have not gotten far either. And then think about all the others who step into a leadership role. They would have never stepped into that leadership role had Moses not followed that advice and that wisdom. And so, so we have a standard here that was developed by Moses and his leaders, and they found men, able men, or men of quality there. Now, this also reminds me a little bit of Jesus and his disciples. I'm just going to share a little. There's obviously many passages about Jesus and his disciples, where we can see that how his disciples that he chose were men of quality, that they had standards, and that they found a blessing in the team, in team ministry. But one passage that comes to mind that I would like to share with you is found in Luke chapter 5, and this is before Jesus actually found his disciples. Because he chose his disciples, they didn't choose him. But this is after Jesus was led to the wilderness, after he was baptized in the River Jordan, all that stuff. In Luke chapter 5, and it says, and it came to pass that, in verse 1, that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So all the fishermen were obviously done fishing for the day. In verse 3, it says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. And we know that later on, Simon becomes Peter, and one of Jesus' most closest disciples. And so he owned one of the ships. It says that Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed or asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And so after Jesus taught the people out of the ship, it says in verse 4 that when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, who's also Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or a catch. And in verse 4 here, we see Jesus giving orders to Peter, or to Simon Peter. And in verse 5, we see, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled," or worked, "all the night," or in other words, "all night long. We've been working. We've been fishing. And have taken nothing." In other words, we didn't catch a thing. "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets." So here we have Peter, who, or Simon Peter, who says, "Hey, you know what? I'm tired. I don't want to go back out into the water. I don't want to go fishing again. I've already been fishing all night long. We didn't catch anything. There's not a good chance then that we'll catch anything else, or that, you know, that we will actually catch something if we do go back out." But he obeyed Jesus' words, even though he might not have been real wanting to. Yeah, he did anyways. And that's why he said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net." And verse 6 says, "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they called unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." I like this verse 8 right here, but just since Peter recognizes his unbelief and repents from it. It says, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the catch of the fishes which they had taken." And it says in verse 10, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." So we see in the last few verses that not only was Simon Peter out there, and I believe he had a brother named Andrew there too. This passage doesn't make mention of it, but we also see that James and John, who were brothers, the sons of Zebedee, were partners with Simon Peter in verse 10. And they're partners in their fishing business. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." So they're already teammates. They're already working as a team. And they did find the blessing in being a team with Simon Peter there, since Simon Peter obeyed Jesus' words. But this is where Jesus calls them into their ministry and to fulfill their destiny. And it says, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And verse 11, it says, "When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." In other words, they forsook everyone and everything. They left their father. They left their ships. And they followed Jesus. And that's to me, that's so amazing. Because right here, we're seeing that standard once again. We're seeing that standard in team ministry. We're seeing that standard in the disciples when Jesus building his team here. Jesus just wasn't looking for anybody. He went and found rough guys, people that were fishermen. I mean, you know, they were rough old boys. In fact, you know, we know that Peter probably had a little bit of a cussing problem. Eventually, if not then, later on, just from the scriptures when he was cussing them, make sure that he wasn't seen as one of Jesus' disciples. But right here, these guys were rough. These guys were not just had been in a synagogue all their life studying scripture. They'd been out in the real world. I could imagine how they had rough fisherman hands. And just the weathered skin and just tough old boys. But they were also men of quality. They were men with standards. And Jesus made sure that that's what he gathered. And we could go through all the other disciples and see that the different qualities that they had as well. But I like that passage of scripture because this is the initial disciples that Jesus finds here. Going over to talk a little bit about, let's just go over to Acts chapter 6, and we'll see a few other men of quality here that have a standard. Acts chapter 6, we all know this passage of scripture, I think, but it says, and in those days, verse 1, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there's a murmuring or a complaining of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the twelve disciples called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason or not good that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and go to the ministry of the word. Now, just looking at these first four verses right here, first of all, the thing that we see is that there's a need. And oftentimes, this is how we build teams in the ministry, is that we see that there's a need. And so we go out and we gather the disciples that that we need to fulfill that need. And we usually, as pastors, I would say look for, and ministers, look for people that are quality people, men and women that, you know, have standards. And our standards are given to them, our expectations, and they're adopted by them. And usually we share that with them going in. And that's how we all operate as a team, in harmony and in sync and as one. And that's where we find the blessing. So this became a great blessing to the people here and to the apostles who decided to do this. But here we see in verse 2 that the disciples, you know, decided it wasn't good that they would serve tables. But so verse 3 says, they looked for seven men of, and I just want you to think about when we're talking about this, the standard or a level of quality here. Seven men of honest report. Okay, it has a lot to do with the way Jethro talked about men of truth, right? Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So these men weren't just to be men that had a good report amongst other people, but they're truthful men. But they're also to be men that were full of God here and full of wisdom, and who we may appoint over this business. And so they found these seven men, and they said, you know what, when we give these seven men, when we get these seven men, we're going to give ourselves more to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I think that's every pastor and minister's dream, right? And the same, in verse 5, it says, the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. So when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, to me, this sounds like they found the blessing. You know what I mean? They found that new one in the cluster. They found the blessing in team ministry right here. And this is really a great picture, a great example of what team ministry looks like. And so, and I truly believe as well that the apostles learned how to pick their disciples here. These men of honest report, men full of faith in the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus picked them. Jesus picked men that would be with him to the end. We only know of one that was not, and that was Judas, and even he was doing a lot of great things before he turned sideways. But anyhow, that's oftentimes the case too. But that's another sermon there. So anyways, so we see that these apostles built a strong team, a team with a level of quality or a standard in that team ministry. And just to make a few mention of a few other teams, if we go and we looked over there in Acts chapter 9, we'd find Ananias, how Saul, who later on is known as Paul, had just gotten born again and was blind, and his eyes weren't open, and God sent Ananias to him, and Ananias laid hands on Paul, or Saul, and he recovered his sight. Yeah, in other words, he's able to see again. God healed his eyes, and he's also filled with the Holy Ghost. And this was another good example of team ministry and finding the blessing there. Another one would be Priscilla and Aquila, and over there, as well as in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, we find how God calls Paul and Barnabas to come out and to do a work and amongst the Gentiles, and they started their missionary journeys. In fact, John Mark was one of that's Barnabas's cousin, was actually one of the guys that went out there and helped him, and he did not last. He ended up quitting, and we see that in verse 13 of that same chapter of Acts 13. Later on in Acts chapter 15, we find that the team expands and changes a little bit, and Paul and Barnabas getting a little argument over John Mark and taking him back, because John Mark wants to go back and fulfill the call of God in his life, and Barnabas ends up parting ways with Paul and taking John Mark under his wing, and Paul takes Silas, and they end up covering more ground and just spreading the gospel, and there ends up being a great blessing in it. All these team ministries that we find, even with Paul, there's just so much blessing in that team ministry. And Paul doesn't choose men that was the thing that he had such a hard time with bringing John Mark back for, because to Paul, he looked like a quitter. But and later on, you know, Paul changes his mind about John Mark. But Paul was looking for men of quality, people that didn't quit, people that were going to stand by him, people that were going to even go to death if have to be, to fulfill the call of God on their lives. Acts 16, 1 through 5, we see Timothy, Paul working with Timothy in the ministry here. And so there's so many different teams of ministry, like I said before, like Elijah and Elisha. You know, what was on Elijah got on Elisha, and even a double portion of that, just from working together, they found a blessing in team ministry, I would say. We see all these things. We see that all these things have a standard. They have all these people. They were men of quality, men of character, men of that had expectations of holding up a standard of their Christianity and their walk. And, you know, people are, of course, going to, you know, miss it here and there, and we all do. But there can't be any quit in us. We got to be steadfast in the faith and fight the good fight, right? And that's something that we have to do. And so, but when I see the Bible and I see all these different teams in the Bible, people ministering, I just see such a people of quality and that have a standard in their life and in this team ministry. And so I think that as ministers, we ought to look for the same kind of people. And if we can't find those same kind of people, then we have to develop them. And sometimes that takes a long time. You know, sometimes though, that we're also the problem as ministers ourselves, in that we don't trust people as much as we should. And we kind of get afraid or want to do it all ourselves even sometimes, even though we might complain otherwise. But just to release some of that authority and give people a chance, you know. And I have people come to me and say, you know, hey, I want to do something for God, you know. And I said, and in my mind I'm thinking, well, you know, if you just came to church more than this one time, that would be a great start, you know. But I understand, you know, I believe that God puts that in people, that so that they want to do His will and that they want to do His work. But we have to help people. There's more than just the want to. We also have to help people. We have to help develop people to be these men of quality, men and women of quality, so that they can fulfill the call of God in their life. And as a result, when we do, it will cause us to be able to fill our call on our life as well. And just like it was for Paul, just like it was for all the apostles, just like it was for Jesus, just like it was for Moses and Elijah. And so this is an important matter, and just a reminder that there is a blessing in team ministry, and I believe it's a greater blessing than walking the path alone and trying to do everything ourselves. Anyways, my wife and I just want to send you guys out blessings, and I believe that you guys are having a great time there, and we look forward to seeing you next year back there. All right. God bless you.